we've been working through the Gospel of Luke, we come to chapter 9, verses 37 to 43, which tells a story of a man who brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus to be healed. After Jesus' disciples failed to cast the demon out of the boy, both Matthew and Mark give the same account. But the account in Mark is twice as long as the others, and it gives much more detail about the account. For that reason, we are going to read the narrative there in Mark chapter 9. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 9, I'll be reading out of the ESV, and we're going to start reading from verse 14. Would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Mark 9, starting at verse 14, reads this way. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them, and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." Lord, this man came to you with little faith, but he came to you and you blessed him. We come to you this day. Would you bless us? Would you help our unbelief? Would you strengthen our faith as we hear your word? Would you use your servant to to deliver this message to your people with clarity and conviction. This is our prayer, and we pray it in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Title of this morning's message is, Does Your Faith Pray? Jesus is coming down from the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John. Jesus has been transfigured before these disciples. They have just witnessed a glimpse of the veil being pulled back and seen Jesus in his full glory. Moses and Elijah appear and they're talking with Jesus. These three disciples just saw heaven breaking into earth. Everyone loves mountaintop experiences. We wish that we could live there forever. We never want them to end. The disciples did not want this to end either. Peter suggested, why don't we have a building project? Let's camp out here. It is good for us to be here, he said. If you like Jesus, let us make three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. But the text tells us he didn't know what he was saying. Who wouldn't want to live on a mountaintop experience? Look at the contrast between these two scenes. On the mountaintop, there was glory. In the valley, there was suffering. On the mountaintop, God dominated the scene. In the valley, Satan was attacking. On the mountaintop, we see a father who was pleased. In the valley, we see a father who's being tormented because of his son. On the mountaintop, we see a perfect son in all his glory. In the valley, we see a possessed son. And this is where we live. We receive glimpses of the mountaintop, and we also live in seasons of the valley and all these other places in between the two. On this side of eternity, as much as we would like to, we don't get to live permanently in mountaintop experiences. We live in part in the valley. As Jesus comes off the mountaintop, there's arguing, there's pain, there's disease, there's failure. All of this is happening, but then Jesus shows up. Know this, saints. Even in the valley, when Jesus shows up, he brings order to chaos, ease to pain. He has the power to heal. He has the power to restore. He has the power to correct and to protect. There is a powerful contrast here. The glory of the mountain above and the failure of faith below. On the mountaintop, the Father's voice said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And in the valley, the disciples stopped listening to him, and it shows. A desperate father brings his son, possessed by a violent spirit. He brings it to the disciples for help. They try, but nothing happens. The boy is still tormented. The crowd begins to question them. The scribes start arguing with them. The scene is one of disappointment and disbelief. Jesus, as he often does, starts with a question. What are you arguing about? Know this. Jesus never asks a question to gather information. He already knows. He's not learning anything. He's actually going to be teaching something. The disciples, they don't answer, and neither do the scribes. Maybe the scribes don't answer because they'd rather be arguing with the disciples. They've argued with Jesus in the past and lost. Maybe the disciples don't answer because they're embarrassed because of the failure they just had. Whatever the case, the father speaks up. Teacher, I brought my son to you. Cast out this demon. Your disciples, they tried, but they couldn't. He goes on to explain the boy's condition. Matthew adds, the man kneels down by Jesus and pleads for his son. Hear Jesus' words. We often like to think Jesus only spoke low and nice. Well, sometimes when I'm speaking rough, people are like, is that godly? Well, this is what Jesus said. Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? This was a rebuke. And they brought the boy to Jesus. Why did Jesus call them faithless? Verse 28 gives us a clue. The disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Faithlessness is exposed in self-reliance. The disciples had cast out demons before. We read that earlier a couple of weeks ago in Luke chapter 9. It tells us that Jesus had given them both power and authority. They went out, they preached, they healed, they delivered from demons. But now they fail. Why? I suspect that they started to rely on what they had done instead of who they were to depend on. Somewhere along the way, they learned the motions of ministry. They understood the right words, the right posture, but they lost the posture of prayer. Their confidence was in what worked the last time, not in the living presence of God in the present time. Faithfulness doesn't always look like rebellion. Sometimes it looks like self-sufficiency. We can do the right things. Serve, teach, pray for others, and still be faithless in our hearts by operating apart from the dependence of Christ. We could be trying to do Christ's work without Christ. The disciples were trying to perform spiritual work without spiritual power. That's impossible. And that's something every follower of Jesus must guard against. When prayer becomes an afterthought, when we move in routine rather than in reliance, when we handle God's work like a skill instead of surrender, when we're doing that, we're not walking in faith anymore. Believers are powerless if Jesus is not there. Jesus is not lamenting the lack of power. He's lamenting the lack of faith. You've been with me. You've watched me. You've seen my power. You know what they saw with Jesus often doing? Leaving them. Going off by himself and praying to the Father. He's telling them, you can operate in the power that I've granted you through faith. That's for us. Power in Christian faith is not magic. It's not to be used any way you want. Power and authority comes from the Lord to fulfill the purposes that he's called you to. But there is power for the believer. You have access to power. Our theme for this year is believe. Let me tell you something. You cannot give yourself more belief. You do not have the capacity to create faith by a decision. That's not how it works. Let me just believe more. You can't create that. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You will trust more. You will have more faith. You will believe when you walk more with Jesus, when you walk closer to Jesus. Your faith will grow as you know him, as you spend time with him. So I ask you, does your faith pray? Not everything is going to be revelation from the mountaintop. Everybody likes the mountaintop. But we are shaped often in the valley. Having mountaintop experiences actually should help you when you're in the valley. I'm going to tell you what the valley does. It will test your faith. On the mountaintop, Jesus' glory was clear. It was exposed. It was unveiled. But you know what Jesus did when he got to the valley? He went to work. Jesus is always working in the valley. Jesus tells the Father to bring the boy to him. As soon as the Spirit sees Jesus, it convulses the child violently, throwing him to the ground, foaming at the mouth in agony. The nerve of this demon, it assaults the boy in the presence of Jesus. Remember other accounts that we read. They were trying to cut deals with Jesus, asking him, don't send me to the abyss before my time. not this demon. Jesus asks, how long has this been going on? Again, Jesus is not asking questions to gather information. He knows. This was actually a question of compassion. Sometimes when you inquire about someone else, it's showing that you care. Jesus wanted to hear this story from this father. This is what's crazy. The boy is on the floor, foaming at the mouth and convulsing. And Jesus takes time to ask the question and listen to the story from the father. You know what that indicates? This was not only for the boy. The father came to him and said, can you help us? The man was in pain as well for his child. Why did Jesus ask that question? Because that man was not going to power, he was going to a person. See, when we go to Jesus, just like, I need this from you, as if we're not going to a person, it's a problem. Jesus actually was showing compassion to the father, asking him the question that he asked. Know this, the devil hates children. If a child escapes from the womb, that's a crazy statement. If a child escapes from the womb, the devil's coming for him. So I ask you again, does your faith pray? Do you believe in the power of prayer? We have prayer service every Wednesday night at 7 in the lodge. One of the things that so pleases me is the same people come out and pray every Wednesday. That is actually the core of the church. Those are the prayer warriors, understanding that nothing happens without prayer. On the last Wednesday of the month, this Wednesday coming, the service is always dedicated to praying parents. Come out. Pray for your unborn child. Pray for your young child. Pray for your grown child. Pray for your grandchild. The devil wants to destroy them. What can you do? You keep bringing them to Jesus. And if your kids are grown and out of the house, you keep bringing them before Jesus. When Jesus calls for the boy, the demon in his boldness makes this last attempt to try to kill him. I'm sure the father's voice was trembling. The disciples just failed in healing him. And he says to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us. Help us. Notice the word, if you can. The father believes, but his faith is weak. He's been going through this a long time. He's tired. He's been disappointed before. The disciples' failure probably even deepened his doubt. Jesus says, if you believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Here comes one of the most honest prayers in all of Scripture. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That prayer captures the tension of faith in every heart. It's the cry of someone who wants to believe fully, but feels the weight of doubt and disappointment. That's all of us sometimes. Jesus honors it. Jesus doesn't treat the man the same way that he treated his disciples. They needed different things. Jesus is going to always give you what you need. He doesn't wait for perfect faith. He responds to honest dependence. We won't have perfect faith. You don't need perfect faith. You need adequate faith, a faith that takes everything to Him. Don't lose hope. You know, it's okay to feel helpless. It's not okay to feel hopeless. So two very different things. Faith in this passage is not measured by its strength. It's measured by its direction. The man came to Jesus. He must have heard what Jesus was doing. I got to bring my son to the only one that can help him. The father turns his uncertain heart towards Jesus, and that's enough. See, faith is not pretending that you don't have any doubts. It's choosing to depend on God even in the midst of your doubts. Faith is not even absent of fear. It's a choice that I'm going to trust you even while I'm trembling. Faith acts through prayerful dependence. Jesus rebukes the spirit, and the boy falls as dead. So most of them said, he's dead. Faith trust. Jesus' intervention, it appeared as if he made matters worse. Trust the process. You got to trust the process. Don't start to be hopeless. Says Jesus takes the boy by the hand and lifts him up. He's whole. He's free. He's alive. The miracle stuns the crowd. And later, when they're alone, his disciples say, why couldn't we cast it out? And Jesus answers in a very simple way. This kind comes out by nothing but prayer. The disciples' failure was not a lack of authority. It wasn't a lack of technique. It was a lack of dependence. They were faithless, not because they didn't believe in God's power, but because they stopped seeking God's power. They thought they could do it. For 2 years, the disciples had lived by sight. They're watching Jesus do one thing after another. Well, Jesus was going to be leaving in a little while. And they had to learn. When he's not physically present, he's still present. His power, you still have access to. Through prayer, which shows faith. They would have the memories of all Jesus did once he left. And it would even be enhanced by the Holy Spirit. He would bring back to their remembrance everything that Jesus said. And by the Spirit, they would have power. When you stop praying, you start suffocating spiritually. Their problem wasn't that they didn't try. Their problem was they didn't pray. They tried to fight a spiritual battle with human strength. How often do we do that? This kind. There are some problems. There are some trials. There are some strongholds that will not move without prayer. Not by cleverness, not by confidence, not by human ability. Only by humble, persistent, faithful, spirit-filled prayer. There are moments in life that you will face things that's going to be beyond your human wisdom and effort. The only thing you're going to be able to do is drop to your knees. Prayer is not preparation for the work. Prayer is the work. When we fail to pray, we reveal that we trust in ourselves, God. When Jesus says, this kind can only come out through prayer, he is not given some kind of formula for exorcism. He is giving them a kingdom principle. God's power that we all have access to, it flows through dependence on him. When prayer fades, power disappears. Like, know that. Where faith dies, you know what's going to take over? Your flesh. And when yourself takes the throne, spirit is grieved. The mountaintop that Jesus was coming down off of, where they saw him transfigured in all of his glory, is a miniature picture of Jesus coming from heaven to earth, from being glorified and celebrated to chaos, to brokenness, to disorder. That's what he did when he came from heaven. Because Jesus has left his throne and came into this broken world, one day, our mountaintop experience is never going to end. You'll never have to go to the valley again. That day is coming. So what do we do in the meantime? Bring your failures to Jesus. The disciples asked, why couldn't we do it? They learn from their failures. He taught them this kind only comes out through prayer. Catch this. You can have some successes in life without prayer, but you're going to hit a ceiling. Oh, there's certain things that you're going to get away with without prayer. The world ain't praying, and if they are, they're not praying to the one true God. They have certain successes, but it hits a ceiling. You will always reach a limit if you're prayerless. But it is impossible for you to reach a limit. It is unlimited when you pray. You must pray. This kind, whether it's a trial, whether it's a burden, whether it's endurance to get through, for you to get the victory, whether it's your child that you've been praying for a long time, it's only going to have a breakthrough. Not in self-dependence, but when you pray. You know what prayer advertises? It advertises your dependence on God. What you pray about and what you don't pray about says a whole lot about you. Family, you don't need great faith. The Bible says the faith of a mustard seed. Small faith will do because we have a great God. Who are you directing your prayers to? I don't want the worship team to come up today. We need to repent. I've spent the week thinking about this, saying there's certain things that I'm trying to do in some self-sufficient way. I pray all the time. I pray with my wife. I pray by myself. I keep a constant conversation of praying because when I talk to myself, it's going wrong. Still not praying enough. I'm still not praying with the depth of intensity that the prayers require. So there must be something that I'm thinking either I can do it or God's going to do it regardless if I pray. It's not okay. Can't afford to hit a ceiling. This kind, the deepest of things, it's going to only be through prayer. So we say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. That prayer is faith. That cry is victory. And that dependence opens the channel for God to move again. Our faith is not going to be consistent all the time. It's going to go up and down. It's going to waver. But faith is the dominating feature in the life of a Christian. Prayer demonstrates your faith. Does your faith pray? You know what God desires from us? That we would trust him. The evidence of trusting him is bringing everything to him. And we have to put our faith in a God that we can't see. We love a God that we can't see, but that is not blind faith. We have faith built on evidence. God has proven himself to his people time and time and time again. God says, my house will be called a house of prayer. So I got a question for you. What do you need from God? What do you need God to do? Oh, prayer has to be, Lord, help me be like that father and not the disciples in that moment. I want us to take a couple of minutes. I don't want the worship team up here because I want them praying too. Whether you come to the altar and kneel by your seat, walk around, we need to pray. We need to be a praying people, a praying church. Pray for your children. Pray for yourself. Pray for your church. We're not even going to lay hands and pray for you. This is between you and God. Prayer is a posture. Says, I need you, God. Let's spend a couple of minutes not rushing away, but thinking, does my faith pray? Let's pray, people.